Technorama episode 355 for September 26, 2012, Flannel Ice.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history. And now, the news.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Do you have some kind of chart that explains the drug interactions with Technorama?
Over there, in the media corner.
Aha, that explains a lot.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Did you see that? I think it was the shuttle that just went by.
Yeah, I know. I think it actually took a little hair off my head. It's so close.
Took a lot off of mine. That was last week. Welcome to Technorama for September 26, 2012, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I cannot be Chuck Tomasi, according to a nice little old lady in Greenwich, England. And with me
What was up with that, by the way?
I never did get the answer. If you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to my last freestyle from last Friday. Mm-hmm. A cute little old lady in Greenwich, England. I told her my name. I said, "Your name is?" And she said, "Dorothy."
She stepped in the little phone booth and took off.
No. I said, "My mother-in-law's name is Dorothy." And I said, "My name is Chuck." "Chuck? Your name can't be Chuck." I'm like... Why not? Would you prefer Charles?
And she says, "I must join my people."
With me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well, man. I am a little sad because of the passing of the shuttle. Is that the thing?
Passing? Yeah, I guess that die. You can still go see it.
Yeah, but it's officially not in service anymore. I guess it was in service for a while. They probably had to take, they had to take the engines out, and then we're going to just like, "Oh, wait, we got an emergency. Cram it back in."
Well, a lot of them are in buildings they can't easily sneak out of either.
Yeah. Well, I can see a movie now. There's an asteroid coming towards Earth, threatening mankind, and we got to bring the shuttles out of...
Or Nicolas Cage has to steal one for some reason.
We got to bring him out, retrofit him, and send him off,
Hey, I mentioned that last week I was in the UK. Want to give a shout out to Luke Platypus, faithful listener for many, many years. He drove 2 hours down from Birmingham to London to hang out with me in Greenwich on Wednesday night. So that was a lot of fun. We walked around. There's still some remnants of the London Olympics. We saw where the equestrian was at the National Maritime College Museum area. We walked up to the Greenwich Observatory, shook hands across the Prime Meridian, one of us.
I did see your picture about that, by the way.
Isn't that great? He took that. Yeah. He worked for like 10 minutes to prop up his camera on this little wrought iron gate fence thing. Because there was nobody, it was dark. I mean, I'm glad he was there because I would not have gone there myself. It looked like a mugging scene.
What was funny is I thought that picture, it looked a little nondescript where the line was.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of when we were in Arizona at the Hoover Dam. They had the line, was it New Mexico? And
oh, yeah, the time zone thing. Yeah,
the time zone. And you could see a line there, but it was about as exciting as that one, I guess, it looks like.
I also have a picture of him still on my big camera. I took that with me. Picture of him standing at the clock. There's a 24-hour clock with 00 to... 24 in Roman numerals that tells you the official time, Greenwich Mean Time. And he's checking his watch. He's looking at his watch in front of this big, 2.5 foot diameter clock.
Yeah.
It just felt Technorama. He laughed.
That's funny. We did a story about that, didn't we? The people changing their time against the Greenwich Mean Time.
There's a lot of history there, and it's a very cool place. I would love to go back and spend more time, but we don't have time for that right now. Coming up in this episode, we have space, old stuff, and at least one thing that's funny.
One?
Come on, you're going to mention, we're going to mention some of that stuff somewhere in this show, or we'll be right back.
Tuck, tuck, spawn.
Morgen. My name is Wilhelm from Germany. Whenever I am driving home on the Autobahn, I always listen to the Shock Shed Technorama podcast with his little friend, Craig Stepp. I think it is wunderbar. Keep on geeking, guys. Auf Wiedersehen. Endlich ein.
Welcome back. We appreciate you coming back and sticking with us after the first couple of minutes. Hey, due to some minor technical difficulties, I'm having DNS issues and cannot give a shout out to the chat room, so I'm leaving that up to Craig. Would you do the honors?
I would. And tonight we have Claudio M., Captain Rootbeer, Gru, King Tim, Knights Templo, Mad Marv, Knights Templo. Null Hinge, Pixel, Step K, and Ye Old Frosty, and Yenot Zoidberg.
Why? No, it's Why Not Zoidberg.
Why Not Zoidberg. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, Why Not Zoidberg? And ZML 2008.
When I was in the chat room a few minutes prior to the show starting, I was Sir Charles the First, so we are going with a rather UK British royalty theme thing here tonight.
I think while you were there.
It was night, yes. Okay, we'll go with that.
It was night.
It was dark in the whole thing.
Yeah.
I also looked at the birthday calendar and noticed that September 26th, which is the date of the release of this show, is Brett from Wales. Hey.
Oh, you didn't meet up with him?
No, I did not. But I was very close to meeting up with Paul Parkinson. I don't know if you remember Podcast Paul from way back in the early days of podcasting.
Yes, I do, actually.
He used to be up in Birmingham, but now he's in London somewhere, because on Facebook he said, I didn't know you were coming to town. You're only 5 minutes away. And I said, let's meet up. And he didn't get my message until like late Friday night. Nah, and
truth
said,
was, he was nervous and he didn't want to,
Well, Friday afternoon, we got done with training a little early, so I had a lot of time to just wander around and hang out, and you know, that's when I talked to my friendly Dorothy lady and some other cool stuff.
You can't be Chuck Tomasi.
October 1st, or 101, is Stephen Weshy from St. Louis, Missouri.
And Weshy!
Not Welshy. October 2nd is Adam Rumke. Happy birthday to all of you, and if it happens to be your birthday and you're not on the birthday calendar, we wish you all the best as well. If you aren't on the birthday calendar and your birthday's coming up, get over there to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to see you there. Put your name on the calendar. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of the year. Don't forget. Yes. Oh, what? Go ahead.
I was just curious. Did Luke Platypus ask about me?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did? Oh, you're not going to tell him what you said?
We mentioned you in hushed tones.
It will not be repeated.
That's right. For fear of being thrown out of the country.
Well, that's why you're back in the U.S.
Short visit.
Mm-hmm.
Did I, there was, we have a news story related to something about that, but I wanted to mention real quick, we do this show every week live on Google+. We want to see you, yes, you, watching this video or listening to this podcast. We want to see you there Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time. I know that's like wee hours of the dark 30, or half dark, as they call it in the UK.
Is that what they call it?
It's not 9:30. It's not 10:30. It's half 9, half 10.
Yeah, I remember.
Kian was doing that.
Yeah, Kian was talking about that.
His birthday's coming up soon as well. Actually, his birthday is the 26th, if I remember right, according to Facebook. Why aren't you on the birthday calendar, Kian?
There's a shout out.
Yep. Ding. I'm not even going to get the desk bell because he's not in the chat room or anything.
That's a big fail.
Let's do that history thing.
Let's do it.
On this day in history for September 26, 2012, it was on this date in 1580 that Sir Francis Drake finishes his circumnavigation of the Earth.
I'm glad you did that, not me. The United States Federal Trade Commission is established by the Federal Trade Commission Act in September 26, 1914.
You skipped one, so I'll go back and do it. New Zealand and Newfoundland each become dominions within the British Empire today in 1907.
And 78 years ago, steamship RMS Queen Mary is launched.
In Chicago, the first televised debate takes place between presidential candidates Richard M. Nixon and John F. Kennedy. Today in 1960, with both bad impersonations.
And 39 years ago today, the Concorde makes its first nonstop crossing of the Atlantic in record-breaking time.
I did not see if they still have one sitting on the tarmac at Heathrow, but it was there in 2007 when I was there. Also on this date in 1983, Soviet military officer Stanislav Petrov averts a likely worldwide nuclear war by correctly identifying a report of an incoming nuclear missile as a computer error and not an American first strike. Thank goodness.
Shall we play a game?
Polish Wikipedia started 11 years ago today.
Wunderbar. I mean, that's German. And just 4 years ago, Swiss pilot and inventor Yves Rossi becomes the first person to fly a jet engine-powered wing across the English Channel. Happy birthday goes out on this day to Johnny Appleseed, American environmentalist born on this date in 1774.
And also born today in 1849, Russian scientist and recipient of the Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine, Ivan Pavlov.
Says physiology or medicine. I'm not sure if that's a typo or if that's the way it goes. American-born British writer and poet, Nobel laureate T.S. Eliot would have celebrated his 124th birthday today.
And composer George Gershwin, also born in 1898.
And finally, Robert Cade, American physician and beverage inventor, was born today in 1927. And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 26th, 2012.
Oh, great news, everyone.
Hey, there is great news out there, and unfortunately, I was not part of it. I totally forgot about this until I got back and I was prepping for the show, and I went, hey, Nestle is doing a Willy Wonka kind of contest. They are enclosing in their Kit Kat forefingers. That's like kind of with the four sections that snap off. Okay. And several other candies, a GPS kind of token. And apologies as I kind of remember this from memory, because my DNS is still screwing up, but I can't get to half the websites where these articles live. So
your brain DNS is messing up.
No, I can do this one from memory. Watch this, kids.
All right.
The Nestle company had put in 60 of these little tokens into various packages, and within 24 hours of purchase, they will find you, which sounds kind of creepy until they give you £10,000. Well, while I was over there, I picked up a number of sweets and happened to pick up a pack of Kit Kats, not of the kind I should have, and checked them and didn't get it. But I thought it'd be kind of funny if I had bought it and all of a sudden they see the little blip on the radar moving progressively west.
We can't catch him.
And good luck finding me.
Yeah.
He's either a fugitive.
And that could entirely possibly happen. You know, if somebody bought it and just left
on the way to the airport or on the way out.
How do they know that they weren't sold at an airport?
They probably charge you for the airfare to deliver the prize. Here's your £10,000 and
wait,
minus
Nestle, it's not about the money. I just want the factory.
I want to change my name to Charlie Bucket. You lose.
Yeah. Come on, Grandpa, let's get out of here.
Oh, the ever-loving gobstoppers.
Yeah. You drank the fizzy lifting drink.
Sorry.
All right, that's enough.
In more science-y news.
Science-y? Okay.
Science-y. Yes, this is science-y news. Quantum computers. Do you know what quantum computers are?
Yes, I do.
They're not very small computers.
Do you want me to describe
computers.
It to you?
Well, quantum computers, for those of you who don't know, should go listen to Jonathan Strickland's other podcast, called Tech Stuff, How Stuff Works. He's got a great article on how that works. Mm-hmm. And the trick to them is that in normal computers, the bits or binary digits, did you know that's a short name? Bits is short for binary digits. Well, now you do.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes. Okay.
They can hold a zero or a one. I think most of us who listen to this podcast are familiar with that schema. And quantum computers can hold lots of different values all at the same time and then store it, if I recall right, at a particular time. Well, the problem with that is that the values in one place interfere with the values in another, and they have to keep this... I believe it's related to quantum entanglement, but don't call me a quantum theorist, physicist, whatever they are.
Quantum nut.
I'm one of those strange quarks.
I'm going to take a quantum leap here and just... not
up, down, top, sorry. Bottom, strange. Yeah. You get it. Okay. And they found a way to separate these using double-sided sticky tape or scotch tape. So even the low-tech approach to hold your quantum computer together with the lowest of technologies can be interesting.
I think I've used that on normal computers. Scotch tape.
Duct tape, yes. They should
duct
upgrade.
Tape, yeah.
Duct tape is just like the Force in Star Wars. You know why?
I know. Go ahead and say it.
Has a light side and a dark side, and it binds the universe together.
What, what, what?
No, 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 no.
There you go.
Don't give me that. That was better than a sad trombone. Yeah.
You know what's funny or interesting is, I've been reading Dr. Michio Kaku's the newer one. Which one was it?
Physics of the Future?
The Physics of the Future, yes, thank you. God, my mind went blank. And he was talking about quantum computers and how they were trying to push that even further and create computers using atoms themselves. And they were having trouble reading, the binary data from atoms, but they were actually at a breakthrough where they could determine which way electrons were moving or something, and they come up with binary values out of it. Actually, I think that's what you were saying, more than just binary values.
Because electrons can be everywhere at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I like to play.
Me and Harrison just made an atom.
I like to play quantum golf. My shots go everywhere all at the same time. And you can't find the ball until it's observed.
There it is.
In the woods again.
Yeah. Does it really exist if we don't see it?
Hacks and strange quantums.
Hey, by the way, before you go on to this article, me and Harrison made an atom the other week.
You made an atom?
Yeah, we did. We made a carbon atom.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, for his experiment. I should have brought it up here and showed it on the webcam, but it was a lot easier than the way Dr. Michio Kaku makes it sound.
What'd you make it out of?
With styrofoam balls and a wire hanger.
I would have used donut holes or something.
Do what?
I would have used donut holes.
Jelly-filled donut holes.
Do you know if you make an atom to scale how big they really are?
To scale?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe the scale I saw was a ping pong ball or a golf ball size. That's of a hydrogen atom. That's... the neutron, and the electron was as far out as like the edge of a stadium. It's
what ratio were you talking about? Because you'd have
the
to...
The golf ball was the neutron. If that was the size of the neutron.
If it was golf ball size. Okay.
Then the electron would be way, way, way far away. There's a lot of space between atoms and stuff.
That's funny. That's funny considering they're supposed to be the smallest item in the...
Well,
universe.
It's even funnier when you think of how much space there is, but yet my hand can't pass through this bottle.
Try harder. Use your head.
Speaking of space,
yes.
not related to my head. That was comment.
Oh,
it was
I see
the
what
space
you did there.
Between
nice
the
segue.
Atoms. Yes. A dad sends his son's toy train to space and creates a short film showing the journey. in this video we link to, you can see that it starts out with this cute little boy playing with his cute little Thomas the Train Engine, although he calls him Stanley for some reason. And the dad later then builds a weather balloon, screws the little train to it with a video camera and GPS tracking device, and sends it up 18 miles. And he's got some, the whole movie is recorded. It took a, what did it say? About a half hour to get up there and 20 minutes to fall back to Earth.
Yeah, it was, I thought it was like 18 minutes up and then back down, you know, and then 18, of course, back down. But I don't remember exactly. But yeah, it took him a little while.
Fell 27 miles away, which they located with the GPS device, and it was in this cornfield, and the boy gets his little train back. And all through the video, it's kind of cute because, you know, how Thomas the Tank Engine has that face on the front of the boiler.
Yeah, and his eyes and mouth kind of move.
His eyes and mouth were moving around as he's going up, he's looking around, and then as the balloon pops, he's like, ooh, ooh, gets his sad face, and he's falling down in the air. So it's very done for a short little movie.
At first, when you started watching that, did you do what I did? And I was sort of watching it. Wait, did his face just move? And I had to look again. I was like, yeah, it sure did. So
that was very cute. And probably not terribly expensive for a handful of electronics and things, but made for a very cool video.
Now, I've seen some people. I think the ones I've seen, they say it takes about, probably less than 500 now. But the first ones they sent up were about 500. The people that did this on their own.
Yep.
And the guy said he called the FAA, and cleared it with them. And he said he called them 15 minutes ahead of time, which is what they said they asked to do. And he sent it up. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I was, at first, when he let the balloon go, I was waiting for his kid to all of a sudden reconsider with a toy. No, wait, you know, start yelling. I want my balloon.
Yeah, I first read the headline, it said he sends his toy train into space. I'm like, what a cruel dad.
Yeah. I was like, watch this kid.
Launch it on a rocket. There it goes. Yeah, hated that stupid train.
Me and your mom talked. We're getting rid of this thing.
It's getting a little nappy.
Yeah. Then I started thinking, what can I send into space to make it more valuable? And I couldn't think of anything.
Harrison.
Yeah, hold on to this, Harrison. Yeah.
Well, you know, the price may be high on a lot of kids' toys, but this one seems to take them all. When the girls were younger, I bought them one of those Power Wheels Barbie Jeeps. It was okay because there were two kids. I think it cost a couple $100. Well, this thing is, what does the price say? $358 for your own drivable Dalek.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm getting my grandkids. Plant the seeds of geekdom in your child or your grandchild and get them their own. Is that inflatable?
It looks like it's inflatable. Yes, it is.
So the kid sits down inside the base of this thing, and there's a little window in the front. But yes, there's an eye stalk and a plunger and the whole nine yards.
Hey, I can see it now. The doctor's confronted with one of these Daleks. Exterminate! And he goes, yeah.
And it starts crying.
Yeah.
Of course, your kid will look like an octopus with one eye blinking at it.
Yeah, right.
That'll be cute.
Yeah, me and Harrison started catching up on Doctor Who this current season, and we watched the first one.
Yes.
And it was with the girl, you know, that you think she's human. And she's stuck, and the next thing you know, she's...
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it for those who haven't seen it.
She's walking on the planet surface, and she's the Antichrist. No.
No.
No. But anyway, that was a really cool episode, and it had me going towards the end.
I haven't figured out what the thread is yet, other than I just watched the latest one. It looks like Rory and Amy kind of want to get their own life going, but then they keep jumping back in with the Doctor. So I'm not sure what the thread is yet.
Okay. We have one more episode before a break, right? I believe.
One? There's only been like four. Maybe.
Yeah, there'll be five episodes. And then next year, I think after this one, I think this is when, maybe at the Christmas episode or something, but Amy and Rory are supposed to go on their separate ways, and he's got a new companion coming up.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, they've been on for like three or four seasons. It's probably time for a new companion.
Yeah. Although, I could watch Amy all the time, but you know.
Yeah, me too. But moving right along into the kitchen, since we're talking domestic things anyway, there's nothing quite like a talking measuring cup to tell you you've messed up your recipe.
Just what I need.
That's right. I can just see it. Whoa, that's a little too much.
Whoa, not much. Too much. No, too little. No, too much. Just right. No, it changed. Evaporation.
This is one of those things that when I think of Technorama and people say, what's Technorama about? I have to remember to put things like this on the list. Canned unicorn meat, motorized couches, talking measuring cups. I mean, it's going to go right up there.
Next time you're measuring your unicorn meat for a recipe.
So it brought to mind the question, what's the funniest thing you've heard or seen on Technorama? Or maybe it's not even an article that we've mentioned. It might be just some banter that we've been off on that makes you laugh. Write us.
Doubt that.
Let us know.
Send your comments to technorama at chuckchat.com.
Or
call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
It almost sounded like the Dalek was landing on that one.
Hey, by the way, I have to say regarding this cup, yes. $60 for a stupid measuring cup?
It talks. It talks.
You know what? The only way I can see this be interesting or for someone is if they're blind, maybe.
Could be.
I mean, that's really...
Does it do metric and English? That's what I want to know.
I can't change it empirical.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know. I just... Really?
Contemplate that while we take a break, and we'll be right back. We'll be back right back with a whole bunch of old stuff, including odd ways people died in the Victorian times. Something I always pondered. Be right back.
Yeah, medieval surgery.
He never calls the help desk. He doesn't listen to podcasts. They listen to him. He can recite the original Star Wars trilogy, word for word, reproducing the sound effects with his armpits. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friend.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Whenever I hear that music, I think of a maid, you know, sweeping up and... Anyway, sorry.
I think of Ren and Stimpy, but okay.
Hey, Ren. Usually...
From 1989, we have in our show notes a link to a commercial for a Radio Shack cell phone. Just $749. This isn't a bag phone, by the way. It is a precursor to that, which we had a bag phone for a while.
This is more like a box phone.
It was the size of a good-sized lunchbox. Yeah. And it was hard-sided. But
that is funny.
It's funny. There's these people at the beach, one's hauling around the box of the phone.
I like the two girls walking around on the beach, you know.
Right. One's got to hold the phone like a purse with a shoulder strap, and the other gets to talk.
Hey, I posted this on Facebook and Twitter, and I said, what did I say? Try updating Facebook and Twitter with this. Boy.
Great reception.
How many years is this removed from texting? I'd say probably... 13, 14?
Well,
13.
Text messages? Yeah, probably early 2000s were when it kind of broke into the mainstream.
Yeah.
You could send... Though. Well, let me think. No, I remember... Yeah, 2002 was when I first discovered them, when I first had a phone that would receive them.
Hey, by the way, I like the lifeguard talking on the phone, too.
Or the businessman on the go.
Just $7.99. No, hey,
$750 with a contract. That's painful.
Hey, if I spent $7.99 on a cell phone, I'm not carrying it around on the beach.
Could you jailbreak it?
Jailbreak it?
All right, you have to do me a favor since I can't seem to get to my wonderful show notes tonight, or the links in the show notes. Phone instructions, speaking of phones, from 1917, when telephones were brand new and they were the stand-up upright kind that looked like daffodils, that they had instructions how to answer. Oh, that's lovely. How to hang up. How to tell someone you even have the wrong number. Practically, how to tell somebody they died. When you have called a number on the telephone and you hear a voice say, "Mr. X speaking," you know at once you have the right number and the right person and can go ahead with your conversation. To begin a telephone conversation properly, the talking parties should always identify themselves. The one who answered should say, for instance, "Smith and Brown, this is Smith speaking." And the one calling should say, for instance, "This is Mr. Jones." This saves a lot of preliminary questioning and confusion and rids the line of unnecessary repetition of, "Hello? Well, what do you want?" And ever annoying, "Who's this?"
I've never used this protocol on the telephone.
You've never said, when someone answers the phone, you've never announced yourself?
No.
Shame on you.
Well, let me back up. Yeah, at work, I do say, you know, it's Craig Stepp.
Answer our home phone, I'll say Tomasi's.
Yeah. Oh, I don't do that. They call in my house, they should know who I am.
When you call me, when you call my house number, do you ever announce who you are? You know,
if Donna picks up, like Donna's like, yeah, who is this?
If Donna picks up, would you say, "Hi, Donna, this is Craig"?
You know, I probably do. Yeah, okay, fine. You disproved me.
Good phone protocol. You should always announce who you are so they don't say, "Who is this?" I even ask people, like if I know it's a telemarketer. Hi, is Mrs. Thomasy there?
No.
And I'll say, "No, can I take a message?" No, we'll try back later. And I say, "Could I ask who's calling?"
Yeah.
You know, always this get is that. The Police Benevolent Society. And I was like, yeah, okay, thanks, Jerry, hey, or whatever your name is.
Hey, we'll see, names like yours and mine. Now, yours is probably a little easier than mine sometimes.
No,
but,
it's not.
But hey, listen, but it's prone to be called out, right? So, to be messed up. So that's good for telemarketers when people say, "Hello, is Mrs. Steppy in?"
No. Close friend of the family, are you?
Yeah. What I was going to say was this sounded more like protocol for CBs.
Dude, you know, go to the one about where to place your phone. Bring that up.
Where to place your phone.
It was like third one down.
Finishing a talk.
Nope.
Telephone front.
That's it.
Okay.
Bring that up.
All right, 1 second here. Let me click on this and that. There you go.
Telephone front. Keep your telephone in front of you on the desk where it's easily accessible when you want to make a call and where it is in no danger of being knocked about. Scroll down a little more. Your telephone is a delicately adjusted instrument and deserves to be handled with care. Do not set it down roughly on the desk, drop it on the floor, or replace the receiver with force. Its efficiency is impaired by rough treatment. Keep the desk stand cords free from wet umbrellas, sponges, and damp locations, and away from open windows. This goes for cell phones now, too. It's kind of interesting.
Apparently, people that have iPhones haven't listened to this.
Right. Now, here's my favorite part. The telephone is very sensitive to moisture. After an hour's rain last summer in one city, we had 96 cases of trouble from wet cords on account of the failure of our subscribers to protect their telephones properly. So yeah. I can just see people coming out with little phone raincoats.
Little phone raincoat. Well, I just read, it was funny because I was just reading about how big of an industry iPhone repair is. that's what made me think.
Yeah.
Obviously,
dropped off the desk, right? Same thing happens today.
Oh, man. People.
These are delicate instruments. Right. Look, you can't. You can't be messing with the keys. They'll break. And, you know, once we get rotary dialing instead of operator connections, we'll be in good shape. I'm never calling those people with zeros in their number. Go ahead.
They're bad news.
If you want to read something, listen to something funny or watch something funny that has something to do with telephones and airplanes in it, go look on YouTube. It's a skit. I believe it was on Conan O'Brien, but I could be mistaken. Called Everything's Amazing and Nobody's Happy. This is an amazing time. People get on airplanes and they tell you about their stories like it's the worst time in the world. Oh, they made us wait 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we had to wait on the tarmac for another 40 minutes. And then the guy goes, and then what happened? You flew through the air? Did you remember this is an incredible feat that man can fly? And here you are complaining? You were in a chair going through the air. Next time, I want to see everybody on the plane going, wow, this is amazing.
Sounds like you're describing someone being shot from a trebuchet. Whoa, I was on a chair and I flew through the air.
He's got a thing in there about telephones too, but I'm not going to spoil that for you. Oh, hey, speaking of funny.
How dare I had to wait 2 minutes for my food to come out of the microwave.
Right. Stuff like that.
I called him and he was busy.
And I drove up to the window and the man made me wait for my food.
30 seconds.
Craig and I, we have to wait for this latency of a quarter of a second in our conversation.
Oh my gosh. What did you say? Oh yeah. Oh,
all right. Last up in the Remember When segment, we have odd ways people died in Victorian times. These are just some rather bizarre things. Three stories of cases how people died in Victorian times. Oh, I think my favorite has to be the accidental umbrella story.
The accidental umbrella?
Scroll down a little bit.
Where's it? There they are.
There's the first one of the death of a billiard ball. Or death by billiard ball, excuse me. There's the self-stabbing with an umbrella and the fatal consequence of tying your corset too tightly.
I know. I hate that. What? Oh, wait. Did I say that out loud?
On Sunday morning, as the service at Winslow Church was about commencing, a young woman from Macclesfield named Jane Goodwin, 22 years of age, had just taken her seat. I'm going to have to zoom in a little bit. It's
here,
you too
read
tight
it?
For me.
I read it.
You read it. It's a bit too tiny
Sunday
for
morning
me.
At a service in Winslow Church was about commencing. A young woman from Macclesfield named Jane Goodwin, 22 years of age, had just taken her seat near the pulpit when suddenly taken ill and was carried out of the church to the sexton's house. But after her friend got there, she was a corpse.
Like, before her friend got there, she was a corpse.
It's like, funk. Her death was caused by being too tightly laced. Wow.
The Wolverhampton deputy coroner had an inquest yesterday on the body of Harriet Cross, widow, 50 years of age. The deceased was coming out of the tradesman's shop when she fell down the steps and the handle point of her umbrella she was carrying was forced into her right eye.
Oh my gosh.
Inflammation of the brain supervened and caused her death. The jury returned a verdict of accidental death. This is from the Yorkshire Evening Post, October 25th, 1893. Painfully.
Yeah, you know, what was that? Was it President Garfield? I'm trying to remember exactly. I have to go look it up. But it was talking about when he died, it wasn't an assassination. However, it was caused by men. What happened was he was shot. And that wasn't what the problem was. The problem was people were coming and examining him. But
right, and poking fingers around. Yeah,
putting their fingers in there, feeling for the bullet and all this kind of stuff. And they didn't have antibiotics like they do nowadays.
Right.
So I was like, good Lord. And then not only was he in pain from this and then everybody's poking and prodding, but the infection was slow enough where it took a while for it was like, what? I forget how long. It was some ridiculous amount of time he was laid up. you know, dying slowly. What a way to go. That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not pleasant.
You know what? I mean, those times back then would make some tough people. As opposed to the people nowadays you're talking about that are complaining about, they made me wait 5 minutes for whatever. They were poking and prodding my bullet.
And my arms were going like this. They jiggle it around in the head.
Oh, boy.
Like a puppet master.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
So just before the show started, National Treasure comes on the TV.
Okay.
And Lisa walks in. She goes, oh, National Treasure. It's one of her favorite movies, but she's not a big Nicolas Cage fan. Okay. And they're cruising in the Snowcats up to the shipwreck in the ice. Remember, the Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it dawned on me, because I haven't seen the movie in a long time. I went, hey, that's Boromir in the passenger seat.
Oh, yeah. Sean Bean.
Sean Bean plays Ian Howe on National Treasure. And she's like, no, it's not. And I said, I can do this without IMDb now. And Donna's like, how do you even do that? And I was like, look at him. You know, it wasn't, by the time Lisa had gotten there, his parka was all pulled over. So I backed up to the part where he stands up in the snowcat. And it was like, one does not simply walk to the Charlotte. There is a...
Oh, my God. Talk about a meme.
So, speaking of memes and Boromir, tell them what you found.
Yeah, this is... well, you know, with the recent upgrade of iOS 6 on all the Apple devices, one of the glaring issues is, and I had to kind of pile on it, but because everybody else is, but the Apple Maps has been kind of a disaster.
A joke? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is and it is, and there's some problems with it, of course. I think I saw a picture of Madison Square Garden somewhere in the Middle East. You know,
I saw the best way to get from San Francisco up to Sausalito was to take a ferry.
Yeah. And it may be, but that was the walking directions, right? Well, the picture I posted, reposted, it did have people going, it looked like the walking directions took you over the water, but then I had people tell me it was a ferry. I'm like, okay, fine.
Well, and this ferry doesn't even take cars anymore. So it's like, where did this instruction come from?
Yeah. Well, here's a picture of, you know, one does not simply walk into Mordor. There's a,
to use iOS 6.
Yeah, and look at the track it's taking you on.
If you've ever seen a map of Middle Earth, you know Mordor is down in the lower right corner. Well, it starts just outside of Mordor, walks the wrong direction, goes up, over, up, over, down, over, up, over, down, up, up, and eventually you come in the backside. But it was like, okay, you had to go maybe, 2 miles or whatever they were measured in Middle Earth, and you went about 600.
Hey, by the way... This is funny enough. Okay, this is great that it put it on the Middle Earth map. But, you know, with all the problems that Apple's been having with their maps, somebody pointed out the glaring issue that they had from the get-go. Look, the maps takes you right off a bridge.
No, it gets you right on a bridge. Look, right on an overpass. Look, right. That is pretty obvious. How did nobody ever see that?
I don't know. Somebody pointed it out, and I pulled it up, and I was like, wow, that's...
Wait, I still got iOS 5. I got to look at my icon. Hang on.
Yeah, it looks a little different. Yeah.
Anyway. Travel, maps. It doesn't give you a route, because there's no turn-by-turn. It's just a red pin on the same icon.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
also
I just thought that...
They changed the clock icon, and they put a clock, finally, on the iPad. I upgraded that to iOS 6 tonight.
Yeah. And they're also in a little hot water for that as well, because they took the design from like a Swiss clock, you know, that was kind of famous. The public transportation clock or something like that.
And they want royalties for their design.
Imagine that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Speaking of iPhone 5s, wait, I gotta play it.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, that was your theme thing. Oh, well. Anyway.
That's all right. Take it.
Here, an unexpected, hated thing. You talked about the maps being a total success.
Yeah. Not.
The, I even saw a video, you know, with Hitler yelling at his cohorts.
Yes, I've seen those.
That's been redone a number of times. Well, they did this about the Iowa, the maps as well. You know, my soldiers have to know where they are, not in the middle of a fountain. You know, and the guys are sitting there getting reamed out by Hitler over the, you know, get them Android.
Yeah, get them Android.
One thing that did not come up that has been tweeted about a lot was the weight of the iPhone 5.
And the weight? Oh,
yeah. People were tweeting saying it's too light.
Physical weight, not the weight waiting for it.
They'd feel it. They go, whoa, this thing could blow away in the wind. And they're saying it's too light.
You're not referring to the weight as in waiting in line.
No, the mass of the object.
Okay.
No, there was a picture of a cop leaning over a homeless person sleeping in the garbage. He goes, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to move and get in line with the rest of the people waiting for an iPhone 5. So I figure you can fix that by making a case that's the size of a brick or an old phone. There's an old retro case that looks like the bag phone thing we were talking about before.
Yeah.
And you slip your iPhone in there. So that'll be nice and big and heavy. You won't have to lose it.
I think we should design a case with a little lead plate in it.
There is more iPhone 5 comedy going around this weekend than you can shake a stick at.
Hey, wait a minute. Again, with the complaining about, it's too light.
It's too light.
Oh, man.
That screen's too big.
You know, you can't please everybody, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can please anybody.
Well, Apple apparently can't this week. Hey, you know, I just want to go on record and saying, I feel confident that they will eventually straighten out the maps. So, and it's not, it is not, you, one does not simply make a maps app. I mean, you just don't make it out of thin air, you know?
Walk into an operating system. No, but I saw a boy walk into a candy store. Okay.
So I didn't want to bash on them too much because I knew they would fix it eventually, but that was a lot of work to make a app. You know, and expect it to.
I don't know why. Obviously, we don't understand what the political reasons or financial reasons are for separating from the app they had. It wasn't too bad.
Well, I think the app that they had, just my experience, because I've had iPads with maps on it and the phones and stuff. You know, it's like the original map app was a little thin. I mean, it would give you directions, but there was no navigation directions. You always
it would
had
tell you where
down.
You are. Yeah, it had directions. It wouldn't do turn by turn.
Say,
but
I didn't say it didn't. I said it didn't have like the navigation view. You know, just had like, you showed you top down where you're at. And it was okay. But
it got me unlost in London, which is pretty amazing.
Unlost.
I was only a few blocks from my hotel and I had no idea where I was. Because, you know, streets don't go orthogonally right, left, up, and down. They're
Same
all twisted.
Same with Charlotte.
Yeah. Or Atlanta, or many other places. But, I was walking around going, where am I? Because I thought I had to take a left from where I was to get to where I wanted to go. But no, the street kind of bended that way, and I didn't realize it. So I took a left, and I'm going down this crazy alleyway thing going, all right, help me out here, maps. And I went, whoa, I am walking totally the wrong direction.
I'm looking for my first mugging. Turn left in this alley.
I have one other bit of video before we get out of here. One other piece of iPhone 5 humor, and that is the tall screen video. And this thing is like 3 feet long. Takes great panoramic pictures. You got to see it, especially when the guy puts it in his pocket and tries to walk. That was my favorite part. So don't play the whole thing. Yeah, there's a whole picture of it. Put all your icons on the main screen. It's pretty fun.
Hey, you know, have you looked at an iPhone 5 yet?
I have an upgrade in the works, yes.
Well, I mean, I didn't. Did you see one physically?
I haven't seen one physically, no.
Yeah, I mean, it does look, I guess we're just used to the screen resolution because it's been the same on, other than the iPads, it's been the same on just about everything.
Yep.
But it just looks funny, like it is stretched too long, just like this.
At first it does, At first it does. But I'm sure over time it'll look fine.
I wonder if it feels right in your hand. Does it look right?
I'll let you know. Should have one in a few weeks.
Okay, cool.
That takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. And if you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Hey, and let us know, again, what is the funniest thing you've heard or seen on Technorama? We want to know what's tickled your funny bone.
And
we've
our
been
faces
here.
Do not count as an answer.
Thanks for the mention. It's been 7+ years. We want to know what we've done that made you chuckle at some point or another. There's got to be some memorable point. Call the listener line at 206-222-2428. 206-222-CHAT. Or if you prefer the old-fashioned email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also on Twitter. You can ping us there. Facebook, there's a Technorama page. Google+. You know, there's a billion ways to get a hold of us. They're all over on the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. You'll find them there.
Is email the new snail mail?
No.
No?
It takes so long. Everybody's impatient with it.
You know what's funny is at work when we have new employees, we still get they still get signed fax numbers.
Oh, why?
I'm like, what year is this?
Yeah. Special thanks to Mad Marv for putting all the great blog content on the blog during the week. We really love it when he does that. Thank you for everyone who sent us links during the week. There are so many, like we said, they're just, we'll use what we can if it fits into the general outline of what we're doing. Thank you. Thanks to those who joined us on the Hangout tonight. Oh, I should put in some applause for that one. And I apologize that my DNS wasn't working. Yeah. Thanks.
Let's do a wave.
And thank you for joining us and listening and downloading and all that good stuff. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101. Wait, should move it down some here.